Well, it seems like that song has just gone along with the theme of our service so far. We have a lot to be thankful for tonight. When the Lord is on our side, who can be against us? We've got the God of all creation that is willing to be our God, our defender, the one who will go before us. And I'm thankful, so thankful for that tonight, and that He's a personal God. I'd like to look at one verse tonight, one particular verse that is applicable to some of the lessons that we've been having in the morning. And that is found in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And maybe if one of you gets it, if you could go ahead and read it when you get it.
2 and 15,
2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
There are so many gems in this verse. This is one of those verses to the young people, to the children. This is a good verse to commit to memory and to take with you through life. That it is something that you can be challenged by all through life. It'll be a source of good encouragement and challenge to you, because it goes in a lot of different directions. We're not going to get to all of them tonight. But I'd like, if nothing else, maybe to stir up our minds a little bit together as we think about this verse, and maybe plant some seeds that will bring forth more fruit in time. I'd like to think about it maybe in break it up into three sections. First one, study to show thyself approved unto God. Second, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And thirdly, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we could spend a long time on all of those, and tonight we probably won't. We'll maybe skim the surface just a little bit, and maybe you can study it some more on your own. But let's start with this first little section, study to show thyself approved unto God. And I'd like to say this in the beginning. We can read this verse, and the first thing that comes to our mind is, well, I'll make it personal. One of the first things that could come to my mind is an overwhelming sense of, that's a whole lot more than I'm ever able to do. Do you ever feel that way when you consider the word of the Lord, and then you read a verse like this? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, that's, God is a big God. He knows a lot of things. And now I'm being instructed to study in a way that I can be approved unto God. And I just want to start off by encouraging you with this tonight. I want this to be an encouraging time together. We serve a God who I believe delights in flipping the light switch on in our minds. Have you ever been in that place where maybe you've seen something over and over and over again in life and it never just registered with you? And then one day it's like the light went on and it just meant more to you than it ever meant to you before. How about a verse? Has that ever happened to you with the verse in the Bible? You've read it over and over and over again, and for whatever reason, and there is a reason for it, you're reading this verse and the light just comes on and it speaks to your heart and it speaks to your soul and it just means something so special. I believe that the Lord delights in turning our spiritual lights on, illuminating our eyes. But we have a part to play. We have to We have to do our part to come to where the Lord is so that He can help us. We need to come to the right place and get past all of the places that we can study and try to avail ourselves where the answer isn't there. Come to where the answer is. I remember one time having a computer problem that started becoming very frustrating. So I called the help desk and somebody answered the phone and said, "Hello, this is so-and-so. I'm here to help you. What is the nature of your problem?" And so I told them what the problem was. No help whatsoever at all. It was useless. And said, "Well, we're going to escalate it." "Okay, as soon as you can escalate it, because I need it escalated, because I need help." "So, okay, well, it's escalated to second stage. And you'll be getting a call back." Finally get a phone call back and say, "Okay, this has been escalated. So maybe they know what the problem is." And so I'd go over the problem with them. No help whatsoever. Zero help. All the time. Time's going by. I'm getting more frustrated. I need help. It's already been escalated once. I think it got escalated again. Still no help. Finally, this last person, he almost had a whole different sound to his voice. "Hello, this is so-and-so. How may I help you?" And I said, "Listen, I have talked with X number of people. I can't get any help. I need help on this. This is my problem. And it just seems like no matter who I talk to, I can't get any help." And in a very relaxed voice, he said, "Hey, man, relax." He said, "You're talking to the expert now. You have reached the expert. I got it." I was like, "Well, I'm glad to talk to the expert." And I mean, in no time at all, he just calmly went right to the problem, fixed it right now, and just no waves, no energy on his part. He was the expert in his field. And I've never forgot that. You know why? We have aligned to the expert. We can get in touch with the one who knows. We try to do it all on our own and try to take all of this onto ourselves. "I'm going to have to study and I'm going to have to do all these things and I don't know if I'm capable. I know I just seem like I have a hard time understanding." And we can get ourselves worked up because we know we failed in the past trying to get a hold of it. When the Lord wants to be our tutor, the Lord wants to be right beside us to help us. He glories, He delights in turning the light on for us. But we have to go to Him. We have to be willing to take time out to go to Him. And I say all these things to set the stage for what we'll talk about here in a minute. When I was in school, my first year in school, in a very difficult class, the professor was giving us problems he had no business giving us. They were harder problems than what fourth year students could do. But there was a graduate student that I found that had study hours. And if you would avail yourself and go to where he was, that guy was the master in his field. And he could help you. But you had to go. You had to know what questions to ask. You had to have looked at it yourself so that you could go and say, "What about this?" You couldn't just show up and he said, "Well, why are you here?" "Well, I don't know." "You don't know why you're here?" "No, I just need help." "What do you need help on?" "I don't know. I just need help." But if you did your part in looking into the problem so that you began to understand what you didn't understand, then you could go to the one who knew and say, "I don't understand this. I'm trying to get a hold of this, but I don't know. And then they can help you. The Lord wants to help us, but we have to do our part. Who is the most important person to be approved of? It's a rhetorical question. God or man? God. Isn't that who we want to be approved of is God? But who do we spend the most time, and I'm using the word "we" rather loosely, I hope. Who does the world spend the most time trying to be approved of? man. And aren't we influenced the same way? Aren't we tempted to devote a lot of attention to being approved by man? We are, aren't we? But in the end, the most important being to be approved of is God. And yet we live in a world that focuses its attention on man and not God. So this verse, Paul is instructing Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. I don't want to be a reproach to the very one who has called me to be an ambassador for Him. That's what we're Christians. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus, to be a representative of who He is. And so it follows then that if that's true, and it is true, that we should then apply ourselves to studying in a way that allows us to be approved by God. And if we take no action, if we just go through life, if we just go out those back doors and we just go to work and we go to the store and we go to school, there's a current and an influence that will direct you without you ever trying to paddle anywhere. And it is an influence that is designed to get you to be approved by certain groups of people, not God. And so if we want to be approved by God, then we're going to have to take deliberate steps to be approved by God. And Paul knew that. And so he told Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God. So how can we effectively study? What does studying entail? And maybe the first thing we should do is define study. I'll put one up here. Devotion of time and energy. To obtain knowledge. What else? What does the word study mean to you?
Seek answers.
What else? Analyze. Investigate. The children, you all have to study, right? At schoolwork. What does studying entail? You have to seek. You have to put forth some energy, some devotion of time and energy to obtain knowledge. You have to look and analyze. There's some investigation. And you know what all of this involves? It involves work. There is an emptying. Focus. You have to focus. You have to push out those things that are not related to the knowledge that it is that you're seeking after. These things also apply in studying those things that would help cause us to be approved unto God. So then, thinking about those things, how would we apply those things then to be approved by God? What sorts of things might we do as part of studying to be approved by God? And we've talked before a lot
about this one, so I'll just write it on the board. Read the Word. That's part of studying. And when we read the Word, how can we do it with the mindset, okay, I want to study this. I want to understand what this means. Practically speaking, what are some good tools that we can use as when we read the Word of God? My Bible has a concordance. I may have spelled that wrong. It's E-N-C-E. When you come across a word and you're wondering, are there some other scriptures that speak to this? Go to the back of your Bible and see what other verses are there. There's references in your Bible. You know, sometimes you read a verse and you're not exactly sure what it means. And in my Bible, it has sometimes a letter. And you go inside the middle of your Bible and it'll have that little letter with another scripture, and maybe several, that you can go to that are related to it. This takes work. And it takes time. And it takes energy. And there are Adam Clark and Matthew Henry. They have some really good commentaries that are scripturally based, where you can read and find out, well, what was the intent? What did some of these original words mean? Say it again. Finding the context. Well, that means it might take more than just reading the verse that you just got finished reading. Study.
I don't know how to put this in terms of this, but thinking back to my college days, studying didn't just involve just reading the textbook. I'd go back to my notes and then I would find, maybe go online and find practice problems and practice and practice. And so I felt like I had the concept down instead of just I don't know how you word it this way, but know the application.
Seek to understand the concept and how it applies in your life. I mean, there are some things that we can read and sometimes people say, well, just I read it and it just doesn't mean anything to me. And sometimes there are things that we can read and we wonder, how does that apply to our life? But I am a firm believer tonight that the Word of God was written in a way that is intended to have direct application to our lives. The Lord wants it to be able to be applied to our life that results in how we make decisions, how we order our life. The decisions that I choose to make as a direct result of what I read, and it comes out in application. So when we read, seek to understand, what does this mean for me? It's not just what happened to the people in the Old Testament. It's not just what Jesus said to the disciples, but read it with an intent of how does this apply in my life? What was happening here at the time? What is happening in my life? So that we can be able to get a hold of what the Scriptures have for us. Well, we could talk a lot about this. Maybe we'll move on. But study to show yourself approved unto God. And I just want to reiterate the fact that the Lord wants to help you. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said that He would send the Comforter. He called it the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And the Scripture said, and He shall teach you all things whatsoever I've said unto you, and bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord doesn't want us to feel like that we are living a life all by ourselves with a Word of God that we are supposed to figure out all on our own. If we open ourselves up to the Lord and we ask His Holy Spirit to come live in us and we apply ourselves, we have devotion of time and energy, and we seek answers, and we're willing to dig deep like the man that dug deep and laid his foundation on the rock, the Lord wants to help us in those things. Alright, he went on and he said, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." There's a verse in Psalms 31 and 1 that says something like this, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed." I don't ever want to be ashamed about how I trust the Lord. I don't want to have to face the Lord and then be ashamed that I didn't order my life in a way that I believed into the way that was spelled out in the Word of God. I also don't want to be ashamed of how I live before God. I don't want to be ashamed of how I represent God. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." A workman. What does that say to you? It says workman. Is this a lazy person? Is this a person that's not doing anything? He said workman. He's talking about somebody who was willing to get out there and work, has purpose, willing to exert, make some sacrifice, has an expected outcome. Usually when we go work, we start work and we're trying to work towards something. When you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible so that you can say, "I read the Bible this morning." But read the Bible with purpose. "Lord, I want to get a hold of something that will help me today in my life. I want to be able to apply it to how I live, Lord. I don't want to just read it so that I can say I did my reading and praying." That will only get us so far. Read with purpose. Be a workman. And this says, "that needeth not to be ashamed." Folks, there is no reason why a workman for God needs to be ashamed. God doesn't want us to be ashamed as workers for Him. I want to believe in what I say I believe in. I want to say that again. I think it's real important. I want to believe in what I say I believe in. I want to know why I do what I do for the Lord. If I'm going to be set apart unto God, which means I'm set apart from the world and I'm going to act different, I'm going to look different, I'm going to go different places, I'm going to live a different lifestyle. If I'm going to do that, I want to know why I'm doing that, don't you? And if somebody asks me, "Why are you doing that?" We heard a little bit about that this morning with someone. "Why do you do that? Why do you live that way?" I don't want to have to say, "Well, I mean, that's the way I was taught. That's what my church says." I remember when I very first started college, I was down in the dorm and I met this guy and we got in this discussion about spiritual things, and all of a sudden he just says, "Stop. Just stop. Hold on." And I thought, "Okay." And he looked at me and he said, "Do you believe this, or is this just what your church believes?" And I said, "I believe this. This is what I believe." And he said, "Okay." And he was ready to go on with the conversation. We don't have enough on hand if we just do what we do. We dress like we dress. We go where we go. We don't go where we don't go. We have lifestyles like we have. We do. And it's just because that's just how our church teaches. When somebody out in the world asks us of the hope that is within us and why, and we don't know We don't know what to tell them. We don't have any convictions. All we have is surface. That would make me feel ashamed. That's why Paul told Timothy, study, do these things right here, so that you can be approved, not unto man, but unto God, and a workman that needeth not. You don't need to be ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to be able to give an unashamed answer because I am convinced with why I'm living like I'm living. And God wants you to feel that way too. We may not understand all the ins and outs. We're not going to. God is higher than we are. But if we know what God has told us to do, and we can get our hands and our arms around, thus saith the word of the Lord, and this is what it means practically in my life, then that's good to know. You can build a foundation on that because you know that's what God wanted for you in life. And as you go along, we begin to understand why. And we should dig for those things. Lord, why? Help me, Lord, to understand your will that I might be able to live for you in a better way. There's a scripture in the 14th chapter of Romans. And Paul said in the 14th chapter of Romans, he said, one man esteemeth one day the same as all the other days, and another man esteemeth one day above another day. But then he said, but let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We don't want to go through life saying, well, we think Saturday is better than Friday. Well, why is Saturday better than Friday? Because that's what my dad told me. Saturday was better than Friday. So then you go to your dad and say, Dad, why is Saturday better than Friday? Well, because that's what our church teaches us. And so that's why. Let every man be fully persuaded. That isn't going to persuade me that Saturday is better than Friday. I want to study. I want to spend some time in understanding, Lord, what do you have for me? That I might not be ashamed. All right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It isn't that I'm going to study to show myself approved in a way that I can tell you just exactly what I think that it means. And then somebody else does the same thing, and somebody else does the same thing, but all the answers are very widely different. This is speaking about getting to the place where we understand the truth, the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. What is it that Jesus was trying to get across to us? It's not just how everybody wants to believe that it is, but the Lord came with a gospel that works if we'll follow it as He intended for us to follow it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Giving each person their portion consistent with where they are in their Christian life. That doesn't do it injustice. In other words, I'm not going to feed meat of the gospel to a babe that's just gotten saved. I want to feed them milk. I'm going to divide to them the portion of the word that is intended for them as newly saved people. I'm not going to bring a stick and try to beat them into a mature Christian when they even haven't even learned how to crawl yet. I'm going to divide them their portion. Those that are mature Christians, then they're given mature food. Preaching and teaching is given according to those that are present hearing the teaching and according to the unction of the Spirit of God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to know what it means. We need to know when we read a verse, what is it trying to convey? What is the context of it? We can get into real trouble if we open up our Bibles and we read one verse and we think we understand
what it means, but we're failing to rightly divide the word of truth. We have failed to study, to understand what does this mean in context? What is the writer trying to say? What did he say before he said that? Because if we don't do that, we can get into trouble. If you read one verse in the Bible, let's say you read a verse, and you believe it means something, and yet multiple verses all through the Scriptures seemed to contradict your interpretation of that verse, you might not have the right interpretation of that verse. But how are we going to know that if we are not able to rightly divide the word of truth? If we don't give some time and some energy, Lord, what does this mean? Lord, what is this saying in context? And if we're not careful, it can become dangerous and we can become deceived. We can become in bondage. Sometimes we can take liberties that aren't our liberties to take in the Lord when we read a verse and we're not able, because we haven't studied, we haven't given ourselves to the word of the Lord, so then we fixate on a verse and miss the true meaning of it. It can put us in bondage because we think, well, this is what it's saying I'm supposed to do. And yet, that's not what the Scriptures as a whole is telling us. And it can go on the other side of it. We can take liberties. So what is an example of that? Well, Jesus said in one place that if your right eye offend you, to pluck it out. Well, that's not a verse I'd like to stop on. I'd kind of like to understand what the context is of that verse. Because it says, if the right eye offend thee, pull it out. And yet there's other verses that tell us, I'm the temple of God. My body is the temple of God. He's probably not just wanting me to start plucking out and damaging and destroying what's intended to be His temple. Another scripture says to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. But if I don't know that and I just read that verse, I'm going to become in bondage to the verse that says, if thy right eye offend thee, just pluck it out. If your arm offend, cut your arm off. Because that's not what it means. And we can become in bondage to that. On the other side of it, the scripture, we may read a scripture that tells us that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so we close our Bible and we say, I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and so therefore I'll be saved and I can live however I want to live. Because the scripture says, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But James says, thou doest well. The devils do fear and tremble too. They also believe that Jesus is God's Son. So you see the importance then that Paul was trying to convey to Timothy that it's important to study, to understand for yourself the Word of the Lord and what it's trying to convey. And I believe that tonight if we do that, the Lord wants to give us a peace in our hearts that we otherwise wouldn't be able to have. He wants us to have some convictions as to why we live like we live. And we can find the answers if we'll look for it. And if we'll be open, Lord, how would you have me to walk? Lord, would you speak to me by your Holy Spirit? Lord, help me to push aside the distractions. Help me to be honest with myself. Lord, help me to investigate this thing before I make rash decisions and course changes in life. And I'll end with that, young people and children. As you get further in your experience, you may see something, you may read something, and it may be, you may think it's consistent with the way that you want to go, and it's inconsistent with how you've been taught and raised and what so many around you that are living close lives before God are living, but it's what you want to do. And it can be really easy at those times to fixate on a piece of a verse or a scripture and go in that direction. My caution tonight to you would be, there's usually always a more conservative route to take while you give yourself time to study, to understand what the Lord would have you to do in life. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Get a hold of the Holy Spirit. We take time for school. We take time for work. We take time for pleasure. We take time for our hobbies. May God help us to take time to study, that we may show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God help us apply this scripture to our lives. Amen.